some years, sometimes they're not, and it's kind of a, whether it's included in the appropriation bill or not, it varies, and this will put it in language. Actually, the main elements that we wanted in here, some of them have already been, the legislature tried to do this for us with legislative intent. And we found later from the governor's office that they can't change in the legislative intent some of these things, so that's one of the main purposes of the bill.
I think one of the things, Mr. Carter, that the legislature as a whole is very protective about is appropriation of funds through other means. And if it is interpreted even slightly or questioned slightly that, in fact, that process is being abrogated by virtue of any legislation or suggestion or intent or something like that, they're going to look and frown on that a bit. I think that's probably where these questions are coming from. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Dr. Carter brought up a real good point that also initiated this, and that was the legislative intent letters in the past budget. And I think the Attorney General was real straight with us. He could have vetoed that whole thing, but he knew that it was within good intent that we put the intent 4 years ago and last year and some other time. So that was also some motivation. Look, if you guys want to correct this problem, put some legislation in. We just can't accept. And so I thought the Attorney General was very nice this year and not be doing that. But it emphasizes the point that, you know, if we think it's right, let us intend to do not do it.
I have a question, Mr. Carter. One of the things that is mentioned in the review of the university pact that we have in front of us, December 10th, 1982, page 22, should be about the second or third page, indicates that there is fiscal accountability with the university system and so forth, and there at one time had been a question. And my question merely is that apparently there is now mechanisms in place to preclude any loose accountability mechanisms. Can you assure us or give us some means of assurance that there are now mechanisms in place so that we don't revert back to sloppy accounting?
Yes, ma'am. Until about 4 years ago, the University of Alaska had never in its history had an unqualified opinion from its external audit firm, the CPAs. That means a so-called clean opinion without exception. And since then, all of the opinions have been that way. And I think that through the audited financial statements and from the reports that we are required to submit, that there's you'll be able to keep a good track of how well the university is doing. And additionally, the auditors every year write a management letter to the board and on the adequacy of the university's accounting and financial controls. And another step which was taken, until about 3 years ago, the money for the annual audit of the university was provided to the Department of Administration. And the regents wanted to have that control, so we were able to get it appropriated to the board with the understanding that every year, the auditors write a special letter to the Department of Administration on whether or not the university is in compliance with state procedures. And we've had no problems. I think the points that are made are very good, that even though presently we're not, how do we know you won't have off into the future? But I think from tracking the audits and the that there'll be, you know, adequate provisions to do that.
So relying on the report of the external audit.
Yes, ma'am. That's the I think the primary thing that you can rely on. And then of course obviously the legislative audit division comes and checks us on different things if the legislator has a question about what are they doing on this. And so there are through the reports and the audits, I think there's adequate safeguards.
I wanted to get that on record.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Are there further questions of the witness? If there aren't any, thank you very much for your detailed explanation,
Mr.
Carter. Is there anyone else here that would like to testify on behalf or against this bill? Are there further questions or comments by the committee members?
Madam Chairman, with the understanding of the commitment I made to Representative Gall, I'd like to ask that the committee consider make a motion to pass House Bill 466 out of committee with individual recommendation.
I would like to also add that although we have no fiscal note attached to this bill, that I believe there's going to be one forthcoming officially from the university. Is that correct, Mr. Carter? fiscal note?
Yes, ma'am. We'll write one. Again, there is no fiscal effect. I'll write in whatever format's required.
We still have to have one that says zero also.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to withdraw my motion. I think a representative to my left is very right. It's very tacky, and it would be more honorable if one of the other members made the motion.
Representative Gall.
I'd like to move that we pass House Bill 466 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Are there objections to the motion? Hearing none. So moved. Before adjourning this meeting, gentlemen.
Thank you, Carter. Nice to see you.
Before adjourning this meeting, gentlemen, we have a copy of the letter of intent I'd like to pass on to you that our legislative council has prepared for us. Yeah, everybody got one on? So you can each have one, and we can take that up again tomorrow with the bill. That is on the House Bill 32. In addition, for the purposes of convenience for our staff, I'd like to know if there are any members present that do not intend to travel with us following weekend, from this weekend, to Casadunum and Bethel on the bill regarding rural teacher scholarships.
These are hands who are going or
no,
not?
No, I've asked just for those who are not going to be able to go.
People who would like to go but can't.
Well, let me write that down.
Would you please, I turned down a trip to the Pribilofs this summer too, and I'm still regretting it, but didn't
seem necessary. Can we help you with your problem, Mr. Gall?
No, I can't make it. But thank you. I'm sorry.
Next time
so
you have
we
a
Pribilof
one, let me know.
I will. Believe me. Next time.
And Mr. Gall.
I think Mr. Ward will be representing.
I know he wants to testify now. So, have we issued any PRs for these scholars? If not, if we have, we'll pull them back.
I sent mine back.
Okay, good.
Would it be possible to send a staff member?
Not really.
I don't think I could.
I don't know. I would have to check, but I don't think it's usual procedure, is it? Will you gentlemen be available for teleconferencing by any chance?
I believe so. What do we have with labor and commerce?
I would. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to require that for a forum.
Something that's on the committee that we're on. I don't think there's necessary conflict, but we'll have to see when time to deal with it.
Will you be available here for teleconference to make a forum? Good.
The teleconference is going to be useful.
I have to have a quorum in order to conduct a meeting, and those folks out there are already setting up people to come in for quite a distance to testify.
Not to conduct a hearing to be technical, Madam Chairman, because at times we've even had people go out to Metro as a group and didn't make it. So you can open a meeting to have discussion, but for official action.
We've been advised that we can't do that.
Would it be the same time as the regular meeting then?
Yeah, the schedule has already been put out.
Yeah. I believe those are clear.
Some may depend on flight time, of course, but most of the time, and since we already have put out the schedule, if you've lost it or anything, we'll give you another.
No.
Hearing no other business, meeting adjourned.